And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. This is Bill Frank, your host, and you can hear us live every day here on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is organizing. Each of my guests is explaining the importance they found in being organized at home, at work, or for a charitable cause. My first guest is the hip and savvy designer of the Emmy-nominated Clean House, which is the number one rated television show on the Style Network. He taught us how to declutter our lives from his book, Take the You Out of Clutter. My second guest has been called the world's most practical small business expert. We discussed how to turn your small business into a referral machine from his book, The Referral Engine. My next guest is an example of several things: the power of social networking, the influence a dedicated group of individuals can have on the world, the knowledge of how to motivate millennials into action, and making a difference while making a living. We'll discuss his nonprofit organization, Invisible Children, and recount some of the many achievements he's had. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Ben Kesey received his Bachelor of Arts in Applied Mathematics, Management, and Accounting from the University of Southern California at Los Angeles. And the day after his senior finals, he hopped on a plane to Africa and unknowingly rerouted the course of his entire life. Prior to joining officially the organization Invisible Children back in 2005, Ben was the CFO, and where he was the CFO, he worked at Deloitte & Touche, as well as J.P. Morgan & Associates and Brentwood Associates Private Equity. Ben now serves as the Executive Director and CEO of Invisible Children, Inc., where he embraces the impossible and plots the course of that organization's future. Welcome to the show, Ben. How are you today?
Thank you so much, Bill. I'm doing great.
Well, good. We're so glad to have you. And first of all, let me just commend you for the incredible accomplishments that you've achieved in such a short time. But we have to tell our audience who may not be familiar with your organization. Let me just set the stage. Invisible Children is a nonprofit that was founded after a documentary filmmaking trip to Africa. It's turned really into a youth-motivated, difference-making powerhouse. You have raised $10.5 million in 3 years to end the war in Uganda. So tell us the story of how Invisible Children was started, if you will, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it correctly. It started in 2003 when three of my friends from Southern California, who were filmmakers by trade, they had just graduated film school, went to Central Africa and discovered an unseen conflict. They literally stumbled upon children that were sleeping in a town center at night because they were fearing abduction by a rebel army if they slept at home in their villages. And the rebel group is called the LRA. They're led by one man. His name is Joseph Kony. And for the last 25 years, they have, for the better part of 25 years, they've used the tactic of abducting children from their homes and forcing them and conscripting them to become child soldiers in one of the most senseless and brutal wars in Africa. So my friends discovered that, were just appalled, frankly. It was offensive that was going on and that they had never heard about it. And so we did the only thing that we knew how to do, which was make a film and then just start talking about it. And from there, we've tried to engage as many people as possible to say change can happen, change is possible, even though this feels potentially overwhelming and disconnected and far removed from our lives. We can make a difference if we set our minds to it.
Well, your story really does show the mindset of the millennials, and I want to come to that because you've got some great lessons for working with millennials. But before we do, tell the very moving story about the one person in particular who sort of was the motivation behind the film, and that is Jacob.
Exactly. Yeah, a boy named Jacob who was one of the children that was abducted by the LRA, taken with his brother from their homes when he was just a teenager. And Jacob's story is really harrowing. He actually witnessed the death of his brother in front of his very eyes. And so after about 6 months held captive by the LRA, Jacob made the daring attempt to escape, and he was successful. And so we met Jacob after he had escaped, and he was living in fear of being reabducted and suffering the same fate of his brother. And so it really was one night sitting with Jacob. Our founder, Jason, said, "Jacob, we made a commitment. We said, we will do everything we can to help stop this war and end Joseph Kony's reign of terror." And that's the commitment that we're still following through on 8 years later.
We're talking to Ben Kesey, who's the CEO of Invisible Children, a charitable organization in San Diego. Now, here's where you're going to have to not blush for just a minute, but I want to talk about some of the incredible accomplishments that you all have had in the last, let's say, decade. And let's start with some of the different programs that you've implemented to mobilize young people for change, starting with Schools for Schools.
Absolutely. So I think stepping back even from just Schools for Schools, the thought process or the philosophy that we've tried to work with from the beginning that I think has lent to the Invisible Children's success, and especially the success that we've had connecting to young people, is we've tried to take a very transparent, very direct approach to philanthropy and charity. I think so many times people are they are paralyzed from getting involved with something because they don't know what their money or their time is actually doing. I call it black hole charity. You give to something and you hope something happens down the road. I reject that, and I think in with the technology that we have at our fingertips, we should be able to have such clear understanding of what our time and money actually does to make an impact. And so Schools for Schools embodied that, and the idea was very simple. We were going to ask schools in the United States, so high school or colleges, to essentially partner up with one existing school in Uganda and fundraise for practical needs based upon that school's own development list. So whether that was new books, new teacher support, a new facility, so classroom blocks or laboratories, et cetera, et cetera. And the fundraising would all be done transparently online. So if you're a high school in California and you raise $5,000, you could go online and literally see what that $5,000 contributed to directly at your partner school in Uganda.
And for the winning school, the school that had actually got the most donations, what was the prize for them, if you will?
Yeah, so each region of the country, so you know, like California, the Pacific Northwest, Texas, Deep South, etc., the top fundraising school got to elect and appoint one member from their fundraising club to actually travel to northern Uganda with Invisible Children, fully paid for by Invisible Children, and see their money at work firsthand.
Oh, amazing. Well, it didn't stop there. Now, back in 2006, you did something called the Global Night Commute. And get this, you mobilized 80,000 young people in 126 cities across the United States using social media. Tell us that story.
Exactly. So if the principle behind Schools for Schools is transparency and direct accountability towards fundraising, the principle behind the Global Night Commute was bringing this conflict that's 10,000 miles away home, you know, making it relatable to us, even though we're not dealing with, you know, most people in the United States are not dealing with a rebel army that might abduct them in the middle of the night. So we said, for one night, we're gonna put ourselves in the shoes of these kids symbolically. And so it was a symbolic representation of this phenomenon that existed 5 years ago called night commuting, where kids would leave their home and sleep in town centers. So, you know, in just over 100 locations around the United States, we organized locations that young Americans could commute to on one evening, and then sleep there overnight in a symbolic representation of what the kids in Uganda had to do back in 2005.
Powerful stuff. Now, it didn't end there because the conflict in Uganda didn't stop in 2006. You had to come back with a new program that you titled Displace Me, talking about the displacement camps that were going on in Uganda around the time of 2008. There you mobilized 68,000 people in 10 cities. Tell us about that.
Exactly. It's very similar. It was mimicking one of the devastating effects of this conflict, mimicking it in a symbolic way here at home. All the while with the big, kind of the grand strategy of these big awareness campaigns, because awareness is great, but it's a means, you know, that's not the end. The in and of itself, it's not accomplishing anything. And so the grand strategy or the ends of these awareness campaigns is to mobilize the international community and specifically the U.S. government to do more to actually seek the apprehension of this rebel leader. And, you know, I think for some people that's a little interesting or maybe potentially off-putting to hear a charity or a humanitarian group talk about an international arrest for a rebel leader. But in this case, we feel like it is actually very appropriate, and it's entirely legal and it's entirely bound under the mandate of the International Criminal Court, who has indicted this man, Joseph Kony, for war crimes and crimes against humanity. because of the things he's doing right now in Central Africa.
Well, I think you had a good role model, too, that happened back in 2001 with Osama bin Laden. So I think you had some precedent there on your side as well. We're talking to Ben Kinsey, who's the CEO of Invisible Children. And, Ben, that still wasn't the end. You needed to actually get legislation passed through Congress. And so you staged what you called the rescue in 100 cities in 10 different countries around the world in order to bring awareness to this. Tell us about that.
Yep, continued the fight. So every year or two, we would tour the United States and ask people to participate in one of these nationwide awareness events. And the rescue was great because we did tie it to a piece of legislation that was moving in Congress from Senator Feingold. He's no longer a member of the Senate, but he had authored with Senator Brownback, so it was completely bipartisan, a bill that would actually mandate President Obama to do a rework of the president's strategy against the LRA. So it caused for the Obama administration to set up a new policy for what they could do to disarm and demobilize this LRA group. And yeah, the rescue had, it was similar, it was 120 cities all across the country, even around the world. And the rules of the game, so to speak, were that students were gonna rally in these areas and wait to be rescued. And what it took to be rescued is the media would have to come and cover them, and a person of political or cultural influence would have to come and make a statement in support of the effort to stop Joseph Kony and rescue these child soldiers. And so some of the cities were rescued on night one, and then some took days. And Chicago was the final city to be rescued. It took 6 days for the group in Chicago to get a member of political or cultural influence to come and make a statement and the media to cover it. And actually both of those in Chicago were the same. It was the media mogul Oprah Winfrey had the students on her show, live broadcast about 8 million people through the Oprah Winfrey Show to end the rescue event.
Well, Ben Kinsey, you're being far too modest. The bill that you got pushed through was the most widely co-sponsored piece of legislation on Africa in U.S. history. So kudos to you for that. Now, the bill was eventually signed by President Obama. I'm going to ask you, which was a bigger thrill, getting on Oprah or going to the White House with President Obama to see the legislation passed?
They were both amazing. They were both mountaintop experiences. I think meeting the president, for just speaking really, you know, really frankly, it was a personal, personally one of the greatest moments of my life. Mainly because of what it was signifying. You know, that was a culmination of 6 years of classic grassroots activism and awareness raising that we were, you know, constantly just crawling up the chain of political power. And so to be in the Oval Office with President Obama when he signed the bill into law, it was an incredible experience because of the work and the effort that had gone into it. Now, at the same time, I think it's easy for us, despite all the successes that we've talked about on the show, to have a lot of humility because, as we speak today, you know, the problem that we set out to tackle has yet to be solved. And so we believe in that. That is what wakes us up in the morning, is to say we discovered Joseph Kony abducting kids 8 years ago. Sadly, that still is going on. So until that stops, we really don't feel like we can celebrate anything.
We're talking to Ben Kesey, CEO of Invisible Children, a charity based down in San Diego. And there's so much time, so many things to talk about, the power of social networking, the influence of a dedicated group, et cetera. But I'm just going to focus in on one thing, and that is the mindset of the millennials. And just if you can, in the minute or two we've got remaining, talk to me about how millennials view the triple bottom line that businesses can have today.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a very interesting young generation, and I think there's a lot of factors that have gone into it, but I think the social connectivity that's come through Facebook and through the web really has fundamentally changed the worldview of a lot of young people. And what I mean by that is, you can have, as a young person now, you can have a relationship on Facebook with someone that's living 10,000 miles away from you in the same way that you can have a relationship with someone living right down the street. Because on Facebook, it looks the same. And so I think what that's doing is it's causing young people to think more globally and to think of ourselves living in a global community, so that if kids are being abducted in Uganda or in Central Africa, that affects them and it causes them to have empathy and emotions towards it in ways that, you know, 20 years ago they just wouldn't have never even known about it or potentially felt very disconnected. So I think that's what we're really tapping into as an organization, is encouraging students and young people to think that way. Now, the triple bottom line and how it can impact businesses, I think is really profound. And I think businesses will have to adjust their models to fit that, to fit the values that that a lot of the millennials have. The triple bottom line that you referenced, as I understand it, is people, profit, planet. And that businesses and brands that are able to incorporate, you know, be running a successful, profitable business that has an impact, positive impact on people with limiting damage or even supporting the conservation of the planet, I think those are the brands of the future. Those are the businesses that are going to truly succeed.
And that's what we as business people need to know about the millennials. They want that triple bottom line: profit, people, and planet. We've been talking to Ben Kesey, the CEO of Invisible Children. Ben, if people are intrigued by the story, they want to learn more about you, learn more about your cause, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Yeah, exactly. Straight to our website. It's invisiblechildren.com. Invisiblechildren.com, and there's a help now section if you're interested and want to either get involved with your time or your money. You can donate right online there to one of a few different transparent programs, or you can learn about some volunteer opportunities.
Great. Ben, my hat is off to you for the incredible accomplishments that you've achieved in just a short decade. We've been talking to Ben Kesey, CEO of Invisible Children. Ben, I'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill. And
thank
we're not
you.
Done yet.
What, okay. Keep going, man. That's what it takes to move a social media like that.